All right, so if you had a personal assistant for one day, it sounds kind of nice to maybe pass a task off, whether it's something like really work-related or it's just something around the house, something that you just don't want to do, because we all have tasks and responsibilities that maybe we don't want to do. They seem like they drag us down, it just takes time. You might even say they feel like a burden. And it's the idea of carrying a burden that we'll focus on today, except it's a little different type than what we talked about. It's not the burden of something that's necessarily yours, but it's kind of the burden maybe of others that we carry for them. We feel a burden for somebody else or for an issue or for a situation that's going on. We're going to jump into that more in just a little bit, but we're going to get into that today because of a new series that we're starting today on the book of Nehemiah. So we're going to be in Nehemiah throughout this entire summer. So I want to set up the series in Nehemiah a little bit before we jump in. Ezra and Nehemiah, if you look in your Bibles, Ezra and Nehemiah are two books that are back to back, but they're actually really meant to be one kind of continual holistic work. They weren't split up in biblical manuscripts until much later. When I was in seminary, we actually studied them as one because they do kind of play together. So if you read them together, you could. And it really starts, the whole work, if we start with Ezra, starts with the fall of Jerusalem and the Babylonian exile. So the Jews have been scattered. But then the book starts in Ezra 1 through 6, where some of the exiles start to return to Jerusalem. And there's this fella named Zerubbabel who comes along and he starts to help rebuild the temple. Then in Ezra 7 to 10, more exiles comes back to Jerusalem. Then Ezra comes along. Ezra is a skilled teacher. He's well-versed in the law of Moses. So Ezra is there to kind of help with the teaching and rebuilding of spiritual and social renewal. So that's what Ezra does. So there's our book of Ezra. Then we get to the book of Nehemiah that we're going to be in. And we're going to learn about how Nehemiah has a role within the Persian government, but he takes on the role of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. And building a wall means you got to build it piece by piece, brick by brick. And that's where we get the theme of our series from. It's called Brick by Brick. You have to go piece by piece. And it actually works for us as followers of Jesus and for God's worldwide church. He builds us brick by brick, piece by piece, step by step at a time. So each week we're going to see a central theme or a brick that we'll focus on and dig into how God uses that for us and how God uses that for his church. These are not all the bricks that God would use, but they're all present in our lives. And today, like I said, is burdens. But again, not the burdens that we carry because they're tasks and just things we don't want to do. But these are burdens that God puts on our hearts because we feel them for others in situations. And I want you to kind of take hold of this. The burden felt inside of you might be what God wants to rebuild in you and through you. That burden that you feel inside might be what God wants to rebuild in you and through you. All right, so these burdens are how God rebuilds us and rebuilds his church. So we're going to explore burdens today as we walk through all of Nehemiah chapter 1. It's only 11 verses. We'll read all of it here and talk through it. It's bookmarked in your Bibles if you want to follow along. Becky, you'll have it on the screens. If you want to follow along, phones, tablets, computers, all great. I will read from the NIV translation as usual. So here we go, chapter 1 of Nehemiah. It says this, "The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, 'Those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.' When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, 'Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his commandments of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, "If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king." All right, so Nehemiah's in Susa, and he's there work-related. He works in the Persian government. And Susa is kind of like the winter resort for the Persian king. So this is where they would go in winter. And Nehemiah is approached by his brother, and he's like, hey, how's everyone, the Jews that are back in Jerusalem? How's it all going? And the answer isn't good. The people that are there are in trouble. There had been a wall that had been around Jerusalem to protect them. That wall has been broken down, and the gates burned. No wall means they are defenseless. And Nehemiah is really distressed about this. And he sits down and he mourns, he weeps, he fasts, and he does this for days. He takes time to really feel what's going on. And this is important because Nehemiah, as we're going to see, Nehemiah's a guy of action. He gets going, he does things, but he takes his time here to really feel what's happening. And then he prays. And the bulk of this chapter is the prayer of Nehemiah. But the way he starts this prayer isn't just instantly crying out in the distress or asking for help right away. He says, Lord, the God of heaven, great and awesome God who keeps his promise. This is actually very similar to how Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, starting with our Father who in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. And it's important because Nehemiah first, he starts by recognizing who God is in his life, recognizing God's position in his life and his position under God. And he asks God to listen. He says, hear my prayer as Nehemiah will pray for the servants of God. And then Nehemiah confesses. He confesses his sin and the sins of the Jews. He's not coming before God and asking for help and asking God to keep his promises without recognizing that he's fallen short and others have also fallen short and sinned. It's as if Nehemiah knows, I'm coming empty-handed. I've got nothing to offer, but I'm coming humbly to make a request. And he remembers what God's done. He goes back to God's promises to Moses, mainly, if the people repent and turn back to God, God will gather his people and bring them back, no matter how far apart they are. Well, they're those that have been brought back to Jerusalem, and they are in danger. The wall's down. Nehemiah says, God, they are your servants. You redeemed them by your strength. They need help. Hear this prayer today. Give me success and favor in front of this man. And we learn who the man is in the last verse. It says, he's the king, because Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king. So next week, we're going to hear about the king needing to grant a request for Nehemiah to keep going. But for today, look at the burden placed on Nehemiah and what he does with it. Biblically, burdens would often represent something that might be laid on an animal or a person that needed to be carried, but it can also refer to responsibility or sorrow, so not just necessarily something physical. And I want to make sure, again, we shape burdens in the context of Nehemiah for our purposes today. Because Nehemiah, right, this didn't happen to him. He's got a decent setup. He's got a pretty good job. He's got status. He's got position. But this situation still really bugged him. It really grieved him. It bothered him. Same thing, Jesus. If we look back to the story of Jesus riding in to the city on Palm Sunday into Jerusalem, before he gets there, he stops. He weeps. He mourns. He's upset. He's grieved by what's going to happen. He feels it for them. That's in Luke 19. So both Nehemiah and Jesus are holding and lifting and carrying the burdens that others have on them. One of my summer jobs in college was I worked overnights at Target. And we were on the remodel team. So the West Side Target was remodeling. And a lot of our job was moving things from one side of the store to the other and helping with the remodel and moving things around. And some of the items, depending on the store, got pretty big. And if you came to a box that had a certain sticker on it, it said Team Lift. They called Team Lift. Meaning, you were legitimately in trouble if you tried to lift that on your own. Because they deemed it unsafe to lift by yourself. And of course, us big, you know, rough and tumble 20, 21-year-olds were like, psh! But they were team lifts. You had to carry it together. If I was trying to lift it, I had to get somebody else needed to help me carry that. The burdens that others have may actually be a team lift. You may need to help carry burdens. You see it, you'll feel it. Even though it isn't necessarily yours, it might not be right there with you. But you're like, man, I'm supposed to carry it or do something with it. So maybe what bothers you, what frustrates you, what annoys you, what just stirs you up inside, and again, not something that's necessarily happening to you, but you know about it, you've heard about it, and it still bugs you. Those burdens often come in convictions of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you, man. This annoyance is something. This frustration means something, and you're going to carry it. Don't ignore it. Don't push it down. Don't forget about it. Don't pass it off because maybe it doesn't affect you personally. Right, if a situation for the unhoused, those that don't have a permanent home, don't push it off because it doesn't affect you. Don't think, man, it's rough. I wish people had shelter. I wish people had homes. But you know what? I'm good. I got mine. That one's going over here. But you can't shake it. It keeps coming back up. Keep hearing about it. Keep seeing it. There's a reason it's stirring you up on the inside. that's very possibly the Holy Spirit stirring that conviction in you and putting that burden on you to help carry it and do something about it. There's a couple things we can do at this point. Now, prayer is always great. We're going to get to prayer in just a minute. So aside from that, learn about it. Nehemiah, if we look at him, he got information about what was going on. He talked to his brother. He learned what was happening. Jesus knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. He knew what was going on. So learn about whatever the issue is or the situation is in your community. How prevalent is it? Read about it. Talk to people about it. Attend an event about it. Whatever it is. And then get in your Bible about it. Has whatever the issue is or that burden you're feeling been addressed biblically? Or is there a parallel we can draw? And here's the thing. If it has to do with people that are in need or marginalized or something like that, we've probably got some scriptural backdrop to help us. If there are those that are in need of money or the poor, there's this practice we learn about mostly in the Old Testament, even some in the New, about almsgiving, where you gave money or material goods to the poor as an act of love and service to God. Or those that needed food, if we look in the book of Ruth, there is a practice of gleaning where if you were in need, you go into the fields after they were done working and you were allowed to just collect whatever was there for yourself. What this all shows us is how the issue had been addressed in the Bible and that God has a heart for that burden. Don't ignore the burdens that the Holy Spirit has put on your heart. Take them on and carry it. And then carry it to God as well. Here's where the prayer comes in. The bulk of this chapter was Nehemiah's prayer. And we are taught to pray without ceasing, to pray about anything and everything. But I want us to really notice the elements that Nehemiah used in his prayer here. Position, confession, remembrance, petition. And the default might be to go to that last one, to petition right away, just to go to God and ask. And there is nothing inherently wrong with that. But there is so much value in using all the elements that Nehemiah does. And we see it other places in the Bible. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel has a lengthy prayer, and he uses the same elements Nehemiah does. He is distressed. He is mourning about the 70-year desolation that's to come to Jerusalem, but he uses these same elements. They had these elements, and they're important to use. Sometimes we need to use the right elements to make that prayer really powerful. Last night for dinner, I made one of my favorite sandwiches ever, and that is a Cuban. I love a Cuban sandwich. It's my favorite. Now, there are traditional elements to a Cuban sandwich. If you're unfamiliar, I'm going to help you out. Crusty bread, roasted pork, usually mojo marinated, way better when it is, some type of glazed ham, and then there is Swiss cheese, dill pickles, yellow mustard. Now, you layer all that together, then you press it into a delicious, gooey hot sandwich, right? There's nothing that can go wrong. Now, full disclosure, I use provolone instead of Swiss, honey mustard instead of yellow mustard. Please don't come for me. I know it's not traditional. It's the way I like it, okay? But it's awesome. You need all of these elements together to make up this really good sandwich. Just like there are elements in these prayers of Nehemiah and of Daniel that make this prayer so powerful. We should use them as well. Position. Focus on who God is in your life. Heavenly Father, the God, the Father that is above us, gives life, loves unconditionally. He's the one who forgives us and saves us from our sin and desires community with us. He's the one with power and authority over all things, including the issues or situations that are burdening you right now. That God is holy and righteous. He sets the standard for us as to how we are to live and how to relate to others. And in the same way, he gives us the grace to go slow and to learn how to live righteously and to get back up when we do fall and fall short. He's the one that put that burden on your heart, but he's also going to help you carry it, and he can help you carry it well. Position in prayer is important because it reminds us of all of who God is, all the parts. Because if we jump to petitions and requests right away, we can easily fall into the trap of like making God like Santa Claus who just gives us what we ask for, or making like Amazon where, hey, if I throw enough requests at him, maybe he'll make them show up between 2 and 6 tonight. Okay? That's not it. God is bigger than that and so much more than that. Yes, he answers petitions and questions and requests and provides for what we need, but he is more than that. So position. Then confession. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We didn't live up to the standard God set. The righteousness, the holiness that God wants from us. Confession is when we admit that. Nehemiah does this in part of verse 6 and 7. He admits, he confesses. But I want us to notice what Nehemiah doesn't do in this confession. He doesn't say, yep, I'm the worst. All the Jews are idiots. We completely failed. You'll never help us. The wall's going to stay down, and we're all totally screwed. Doesn't say that. He doesn't. because that's not really confession. Confession isn't self-deprecation, it's self-realization. All right? It's not beating ourselves up and demeaning ourselves for the fact that we screwed up. Guess what? You're human, you're gonna screw up. But what it is realizing, okay, we did. I can take this to God. I can confess it to God, be forgiven, and God's going to help me go again and go again and go again. Confession allows us to strengthen our connection with God because we're being honest with him. So confess and remember. Remembrance, that's the third one. We remember what God has done and said and what that means. Remember that as we get ready to petition God now, just like Nehemiah did, just like Daniel did, we remember that he came through for them. So he'll do the same for us. Remember how he's already guided us and provided for us in our lives. Remember that as Psalm 34 says, God hears the cries of the righteous and is close to the brokenhearted. Maybe those people you're carrying a burden for. He's close to us. He's close to those that feel the burden we have. He's not far off in the distance. Remember that he's a God that cares. He cares about us. He cares about the burdens that are on us. God honestly cares and has compassion. To remember who God is, what he said, and what he's all about. And then petition. Make your request to God. Ask. Yeah, we do actually ask. But make these requests to God with expectation. Nehemiah says, give your servant success today. He's expectant that when he goes, he will get that success. Say, God, show me what I'm going to do with this issue. Once you're sure it's the burden God's placed on your heart, be expectant. God, give me success. Give me favor as I go do this. God, bring the culture of your kingdom to our culture right here. Expect it to happen. Be confident that God will work through you and come through as you ask. So whatever burdens you are carrying, carry them to God in prayer. And then be ready for whatever God asks you to do next. Be ready. Nehemiah is ready to go. He feels the burden. He's mourned it for a while. He's prayed up. Now he's ready for whatever is next. And next week and throughout the series, we'll see the steps he takes. See, we're not only made to just carry the burden and let it sit there. If we just keep carrying, it's going to weigh us down, weigh us down, weigh us down. It gets heavier and heavier. We're made to do something with that burden God's put on us. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared for us in advance. We're God's handiwork, created to do the works he prepared for us. He prepped us for what we're going to do, and he's continually prepping us for what he has us to do. We just have to be ready. Okay, we're going to do a little exercise where I'm going to get you guys all ready for something incredibly important that's coming up. Okay, Thursday starts Jeff's every 4 years month-long personal Christmas, which is the World Cup of soccer. You all laugh, but I mean, the U.S. games are in the calendar. Stacy knows we're doing nothing during that time. I'm going to help you get ready, okay? Whether you want to be or not, you're going to get ready. Even if you're not a soccer fan, first step, be willing. Give it a try. Don't make fun of it, okay? Yes, I know they flop around and act like they're dying every time somebody breathes on them. I get it. Let's get past that for a second. Be willing to watch it. Then be open to learning new things. I'm giving you your little primer here. What they wear, you will call it a jersey. It's called a kit, okay? What they play on, the nice grassy surface, not a field, pitch. What they wear on their feet, not shoes, not cleats, boots. There's more. We could do an hour on this, but I'm going to spare you on that, okay? You're welcome. Then, so you're open to learning new things, you'll hear more. Then be confident. Watch, believe, you might actually enjoy it. Don't knock it till you try it. Be confident that you'll understand and you might enjoy it. Be ready, be open, be confident. You will have a great World Cup viewing experience. Willing, open, confident. Take those three ideas to be ready to act on the burden God's placed on your heart. The first piece of being ready to do what God calls is being willing. The first step to readiness is willingness. Yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, I will be willing. Whether that means, yep, I'll go into the unknown. Or I'm going to give up something I have right now to do this. Or I'm going to put this thing here on hold to do what God's called me to do over here. It's willingness to lay down plans, wishes, passions, and maybe the desires of our own hearts so that we can chase after the desires of the heart of God, which is to help with that burden. Be willing to do that. And then be open to whatever it is, however God wants you to get there. Whatever he's teaching you and showing you, remember, Ephesians said, we're God's handiwork created for the good works, meaning God's going to get you ready. Maybe it's more education. Maybe it's more knowledge that he's going to drop on you. Maybe he's going to put people around you that have skills, have experience, have passions that can help you learn and grow. Be open to that if he puts other people in there. On the flip side, be open to maybe it's just you and God for a minute. As of right now, Nehemiah doesn't have anybody else involved. We'll get there. He'll have some people with him. But for now, it's just him. Be open to just being you and God. And then be confident. God created you for the good works he's prepared in advance. It's all set up. With God, you can do whatever he's leading you to do. There's a Christian cliche that says God uses the ordinary for the extraordinary. It's cliche, but it's true. Look at the disciples for a minute. The ones that Jesus called, most of these fellas were about as ordinary, run-of-the-mill, not stand out in the ancient world as you could be. Jesus called them anyway, and he used them. Don't disqualify yourself because God's already qualified you. Be confident you can do it, and you're supposed to if God calls. If you feel like you can't with God, you actually can, and you should, and you will. Be confident you can do it and be okay with, hey, whether I'm putting something down or it's a little unknown, but I'll go with God on this. Be confident that you are the right person. Being ready is being willing, being open, being confident. We need all those qualities to be ready to take on a burden that God has put on our hearts. Nehemiah showed all of them as he was getting ready to address the burden of the wall being in ruins. We need to see burdens as part of that, part of our building block, that brick for our own lives and for the church. So how do we see that? Well, for us, burdens as bricks, they help us see the heart of God and through the eyes of God. As our hearts break for what breaks the heart of God, it actually puts us closer to God. Being closer to God builds us up as followers of him, right? The burden, maybe it feels heavy to carry, but just like as you lift a weight, it makes you stronger. Burdens, if we carry for God, make us stronger in our relationship with God. So they're bricks that God lays to build us up as stronger and healthier followers of him. And how about for his church? Burdens actually can bind us together. Maybe we share a burden for something in our community, and that brings us together to do it and to serve it and to meet it and to address it. That's the body of Christ working together. It's putting aside differences we might have on other topics or issues and coming together as a unified body of Christ and relieving that burden. It brings us together. Addressing burdens in community actually builds community. So it's a brick that God lays to build his church right here and his church worldwide. Burdens lead to rebuilds. We'll wrap up here. Remember to figure out, identify what are those burdens you're feeling. Identify them. What makes you annoyed, frustrated, hurt, or angry, and you just can't shake it. Maybe it doesn't directly affect you, but it still fires you up. Remember, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you of something. Learn about it. Get in your Bible about it, but identify what that is. And then pray about it. Pray about burdens. Take them to God in prayer and remember the elements of Nehemiah. Position, confession, remembrance, petition. Use praying for burdens and praying about burdens as a way to strengthen your relationship with God through that holistic type of prayer. Pray about them. Then be ready to go. God created us, his handiwork, to do the good works he's prepared for us. Be willing to say yes when God calls. Be open to however God is going to prepare you and use you. Be confident that you are the right person, that God will go with you. Those burdens placed inside of you may be God getting ready to rebuild in you and through you. Let's pray. God, thank you for today, for the start of this series and start of this book on Nehemiah. And God, I pray that you would put the burdens you have for us on all of our hearts and that we would be open to hearing them and feeling them and receiving them, God. I pray that just like Nehemiah, we would identify them. We'd learn about them, God. And then we would come to you in prayer. God, we would remember who you are. We'd confess our own sins, God. But then we'd talk to you about these burdens. God, that we would be ready to go. We would be willing. God, that we'd say yes when it's clear that you're saying, go do this. Relieve this burden. Help these people. That we'd be willing. We'd be open, God, and we'd be confident as we go with you. So God, I thank you that even as burdens can seem difficult, God, I thank you that they're really bricks. They're building blocks, God, as to how you build us as followers of you. And bricks as to how you build your church, God. I pray that we would see them that way. In your name.